And this morning, we're going to continue in Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. And be a little ambitious this morning. We're going to try to get through verses 13 through verse 33. There's two different sections we're going to be covering this morning. The first is when Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus, and then when Peter walks on water. And you know, the theme that really Matthew is illustrating is the importance of faith. And one thing that we looked at last week is a little about John the Baptist and all the events that surrounded him as it culminated in chapter 14 and how Jesus responded. And so we're going to pick up in verse 13. But faith. Is faith something that's easy to understand? No. Is it kind of like, you know, the kids' puzzle pieces, like where they have a cow and they only had two pieces? You know, they had the back half and the front half, you know, so teaching the kids their motor skills and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes we would love that life would be puzzles like that. You know, very simple, right? Very clear. One that it always matches up. The challenge, I think, that we face with life isn't a cookie cutter, right? Once you kind of think you got life figured out, what typically happens? Changes. Sally was known for always saying this. You know, her dad would say, you know, the only thing constant in life is change. You see, as we live by faith and as we strive to live by faith, that doesn't mean we're not going to have questions, right? And I think as we go through, hopefully this morning, we'll see that sometimes we tell God what to do, not necessarily through by faith, but really as a reaction to what's going on. So we tell God what he needs to do. And we're going to see how Jesus handles that with the feeding of the 5,000. And then as we look at Peter walking on the water, we see how the Lord, does he love us? Does he really care about all that you're going through? Yes, he does. And what he desires is that we become confident in him. So what we see, you know, Peter walking in the water, he asked. And guess what Jesus said? Come on out, you know. And so faith is not a cookie cutter, okay? It's not always going to be the same thing. Principles are always going to be the same. Principle is the Lord is all-powerful, all-knowing. We can trust him. We listen to him. And we follow him. You know, and that's faith. And the way that we listen to the Lord is through the Word of God, right? Through the Bible, what the Scriptures teach, and also leading the Spirit of God. That never changes. But the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves, guess what? Do they change? You know, I've been around long enough to hear enough times older generations saying, I never thought I would have to deal with this. So it's not like a person that, you know, once you get to a certain age, you got it all figured out. But faith is incredibly important. And there are distractions. There are things designed to deter us from trusting the Lord. And do what typically it is, somehow it's resulted in fear. There are consequences that we're afraid of. And so our nature is to get in and try to avoid those consequences. Sometimes, guess what? We need to not do that and trust the Lord, right? And allow him to direct our path. And so faith is not a one shoe that fits all the time. And so it's really based upon a relationship with the Lord. For husbands, has your wife's changes ever changed? Tastes ever changed? Like dinner, trying to decide if you're going to go out. Some people may be really decisive. Some people may not. I know sometimes I'm trying to figure out, well, what sounds good? Well, I don't know. That doesn't sound good. Well, that doesn't sound good either. Like, okay, so, well, all we're looking at is trying to what sounds good, now what doesn't sound good, right? You see, when it comes with a relationship, it's a much different animal than it is when it's just going to do things. Kind of like this. Is there a difference between, you know, managing people and managing things? Are there a difference? Yes, there are, right? What's the main difference? When you manage things, if you put the wrench down, it's not going to move on its own, right? It's going to require someone else to come up and pick it up. But with people, you tell them to do this. Do they always do it? Why is it? No, they don't. And they don't have wills either. And when we have our own free will, things change. It's dynamic, right? Just like marriage. Isn't it dynamic? Don't you experience all kinds of stuff? Yeah. So today we're going to look at faith. And the cool thing is the Lord is building the faith of his disciples. Let's never forget that. God just doesn't expect us to be able to be like a Brady or a Manny, you know, when you first start playing football, right? It takes time, and God builds us up. And so I think that's just a wonderful thing, that the Lord helps us to increase and grow in our faith. One of the passages I thoroughly enjoyed in Matthew so far is Matthew chapter 11, when it talks about when Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." What did Jesus say would happen? I'd give you rest, right? Then he goes a little bit further. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly, and I forget the rest of it. But the idea is that the Lord wants us to put on his yoke. What's a yoke? It's not the yellow part of an egg, right? Yeah, right. It is the way that a person can control and lead the animal, right? Doesn't it take time for the two to understand each other? Yeah. And so the same things with the Lord. You know, the Lord wants to walk with us, and we have to learn to hear him and to sense his leadership. And that's what the Lord wants. And that's a faith. And as much as we'd love to have a set it and forget it for life, there is no such thing. So the best thing then is to learn to cultivate a relationship with the Lord so we can really hear him and not get distracted with all the noise. Isn't there a lot of noise in life? Oh, man. Yeah. Let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. And as we spend time in Matthew 14, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would minister to us and help us understand your word and see how it applies to our life, Father. We thank you for your word, and we do ask, Father, that you continue to bless us and help us to grow in our understanding, but also in our following it out, Lord. We thank you and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 14, we're going to start in verse 13. This is where we ended last week. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So in response to Jesus hearing the death of John the Baptist, he goes to solitude. Now, when it comes to building a relationship with the Lord, is solitude important? Are date nights important to marriage? Who can do a better job of having date nights? Alyssa, do you have a boyfriend? Okay. Okay. Anyways, and so Jesus, we see this pattern of solitude. I think it's important for us that we do spend time with the Lord, just you and him. And one way we can do that is through prayer, right? And just opening our hearts to him. Some people may have a hard time with prayer. They may not know what to say or how to say it. And I hope that everyone here understands that it's simply just talking to God like you would talk to a really close friend. You just talk about anything and everything. And so I hope that we all are cultivating that kind of relationship with the Lord where we just, I had a Spanish teacher. She said, you got a brain barf. Like, what? Before a test, you know, write everything down that you can think of, you know, and so that way on a piece of paper, so that way you have notes. And so later on the test, you don't forget it and stuff like that. You know, sometimes we just got to let God know everything. Does he already know? Of course he does. Is this all about information? When we pray, is it all about an information transaction? Is this a telegram, you know, reporting to God? God, here's the update over here, you know, so that way you know. Yeah, it's about not telling him, it's just sharing with him. It's about spending the time with him. And there's nothing wrong with making requests known to God. But let's also remember that if you're talking to a friend, what would the conversation look like? Now, look at your prayer life. What does the conversation look like? Sometimes our prayer life is always asking God for stuff. And if our friendship and in our relationships on earth, if we're constantly asking for stuff, is that good? No. There needs to be balance, right? Yeah. So it's a great way to help us understand. But here Jesus, he sought out solitude, but guess what happened? Did he get it? The crowd followed him. See, that's the other hard part, right? Have you ever been that person? Well, you just needed this. I just need a break. But sometimes, guess what? You're not allowed to have a break. Is that okay? I think we should be okay with that. Because here's the promise, right? Will there be a break soon? Yes. The Lord will do that. And he knows what we're going through. And if Psalm 23 is true, he knows what we're going through. And that the still waters will come, right? And so here we see Jesus being God, right? The multitude comes to him. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So what was Jesus' purpose to come to earth at this point? There's several different things that he achieved, but the main idea that he came to serve. So that was like his mission, you know, was to serve. Now, there's a lot of things under that heading that Jesus served in many different capacities and achieved many different things. But he came to serve, not to be served. And so since he came to serve, and there's an opportunity to serve, guess what he did? He took it. Even though he wanted to be alone. Do you think that's a principle that we could apply to our life? I think so. Aren't we supposed to be servants like the Lord? Yeah. And there are times that serving the Lord isn't convenient. But you know what? It's what he wants. And if God has something for us to do, is it a waste of time? Do you think God wastes anything? I don't think so. He's a sharp cookie, right? Very smart. So if he has stuff for us, then guess what? There's really good reasons. And so he healed their sick. And verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. I like that word, victuals. Just kind of sounds fun. But anyway, so here's the situation. Jesus moved with compassion. He's in a desert place. All these people are here. And what's going on in the mindset of the disciples? They need to go away. Why? They need to eat. Now, is there anything wrong with thinking practically? No. You read the book of Proverbs, guess what? It's full of common sense thinking. So it's not like Jesus is against, you know, we gotta close up shop and call it quits. Here's the situation. Jesus moved with compassion, so he's healing and he's working with them. And his disciples are telling Jesus, you need to stop and let them go home so they can eat. See the situation here? They're telling Jesus what Jesus needs to do. How many times are we in a situation where we tell Jesus what Jesus needs to do? You see, and sometimes I think we forget that who's God? Not me. It's not you. There's nothing wrong with casting our cares and talking to him, but we need to remember that if the Lord is doing something, should we get in the way and stop it? No. What would be a better question for the disciples to ask? Lord, it's getting late. What should we do? Instead of telling God that he needs to stop doing what he's doing so that people can get fed. I think sometimes the questions that we have for God are a request. Sometimes it's not, you know, us asking God. It's more of us telling him. Now, God is gracious and merciful, and he will let you know when you cross that line, okay? So talk to him. But it's interesting how Jesus responds. He says, okay, so you're telling me what to do. But guess what God's going to say? Guess what Jesus said? Now I'm telling you what to do, right? Who's pulling this? Who's leading this ship, right? It's Jesus. Now, it's clear that the disciples didn't have enough food to feed everybody, right, as we're going to see. So there's nothing wrong with thinking practically. But the problem with thinking practically only is guess what we've just done? We violated Proverbs 3, 4 through 6. That is, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on your own understanding, right? But in all your ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? He'll direct your path. They were leaning completely on their own understanding. Nighttime, all the places are closed, middle of nowhere. Guess what? You gotta stop and get them something to eat. Well, we can't just lean on our own understanding. We need to trust the Lord. And it kind of brings balance to us. Because if we simply lean on what we see, what we think, and what we know, guess what? Can we be manipulated? Can we be manipulated by Satan? Yeah. So that's why it's so important to trust the Lord. But anyways, so they say, hey, Jesus, you got to stop. And verse 16 says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. It's like, no, they don't need to leave right now. You need to take care of the situation. Has your parents ever told you that growing up? I need help, or you know, they ask for help. No, you can do it. Or they say, what can you do? Figure it out, right? See, Jesus put the responsibility on them to say, okay, what can you do? Well, what could they do? Well, we'll see. And they said to him, we have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we've heard this many times. So do they have enough to take care of the need? More importantly, do they have enough to fulfill and be obedient to what Jesus said? Yes, they do. They don't have enough to feed the people, but they have enough to be obedient to Jesus. Does that make sense? There's no way all those people are going to eat 2 fish and 5 loaves. But if the Lord says you need to feed them, then guess what? Okay, Lord, this is what we got, so here we go. Right? That would be the appropriate response. But if the Lord leads, guess what? He's going to provide it, right? How? I don't know how he's going to do it. This is the variable. This is the unknown. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. But if he leads, guess what? You make do with what you got, and what you'll find is what you got. Somehow he makes it work. Whether it's physical stuff, food, money, or ability, skills. Ever been in a situation where there's no way I can do this? But guess what? You had to. So guess what you did? You made do, and guess what? You did it. It's how we grow. So that's what the Lord wants. They didn't have enough food to feed them. But the Lord said, feed them. So guess what? They could make do with what they had. The Lord would then bless. And so he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And we've heard this many times, right? And so here Jesus is praying over this stuff. And so here's the fish. He prays over the fish, hands it to Peter. He prays over the fish, hands Peter. He prays over the fish, hands Peter another fish. He prays, hands Peter another fish. It's like, this is weird. This is not normal, right? It's almost like with that widow. Elijah is making some bread and the oil. Guess what? She had a little oil, but guess what? That little oil went a long way. Yes. So was this really for the benefit of the people to eat? To some degree. But what was the driving message to his disciples? And here is the pattern that Jesus set before them. He gave them a command. They said, we can't do that. And he says, okay, here's what you need to do. So he organized the situation, but here's the key, right? He prayed to heaven, talked to God, that God's blessings upon this. And then guess what? Start passing it out. I think that's what faith is. When it's clear that this is what the Lord wants you to do, you pray to him, God, I need your help. I need your blessings. So after that, you go and do. And look what happened, right? Verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments and remained 12 baskets full. Now, I don't know how big those baskets were, but still, think of an Easter basket, having 12 of those when he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Is that a lot of food left over? Yes. What's the point? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? He'll direct your path. They didn't have the ability to feed the multitude. But with God's blessing, guess what? It's a game changer, right? The power of God at work, all things are possible. In verse 21, and they that had eaten were about how many? 5,000 men, besides the women and children. So we're looking at 500 plus people here. 5,000 plus. Well, 500 plus. That would include 5,000. 5,000 plus people. We've heard this. But what's the principle? If the Lord is leading and you lack the ability, what do you need to do? Lord, bless us. Help us to do what you want. And then what do? You go and do it. And what's the Lord going to do? He would provide. And why did the Lord do this type of stuff? Because you think they're going to be facing other hard things? Is Jesus always going to be with them like he is right now? No, it's going to be different. He will always be with them, but it's going to be different, right? And so they're not going to necessarily have him to lean on. It's kind of like growing up. there's a period of time where you can lean on mom and dad or whoever for stuff. Grandma and grandpa, some aunts and uncles. But there comes a point in time that guess what? You get booted out of the house, and guess what you got to do? You got to start growing up, right? Yeah. See, there's going to come a time where the disciples needed to grow up. That time's not yet, because he's still there. But he's preparing them for something ahead. They're going to have to do something a little bit more challenging. Don't you think it's kind of would it be a hard situation that Peter found himself standing before the authorities that have the power of life and death over him? Would that be intimidating? It would be. And what they did was nothing wrong, but you was very clear that they didn't like you doing what you were doing. Do you think there's some intimidation in that? A little fear, some anxiety? So if they couldn't make do with this situation, how could they deal with some of that other stuff? So the challenges of today, they prepare us for tomorrow. God equips us today so that way tomorrow we can be used. And he wants to help us to grow. He wants to equip us. Does he want us to be cowards? No. What does he want us to be? Yeah. Isn't Paul says we're more than conquerors through Christ? That's who he wants us to be. But the problem is, the way we do that is much different than the way of the world, right? The way of the world is self-reliant on what you can do. Jesus does not want us to rely on what we can do. What does he want us to rely more upon? What he can do through us. The world focuses on our abilities. The Lord wants us to focus on what he can do with us, with our abilities to achieve what he wants. Much different. A much different way of thinking. In verse 20, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side when he sent the multitudes away. You know what's interesting? It's like Jesus knew what was going on. He knew it was getting late. Do you think it was his plan all along to send them away? I would say so, because here we see that he does. Sometimes we jump the gun. Have you ever experienced that? It's like, hold your horses. We were on Sanibel Island over in Florida. We're going to check out this little beach. And there's about four cars in front of us. We all came to stop. There's people getting out. I'm like, what's going on? Why is everyone waiting? One car goes around and is going to turn around and come out. I'm like, well, I'll just go around and find. And there's one parking spot. Guess what? Conversations came my way. Do you think there are some upset people? Yeah. One guy was nice about it. One guy was going to call the cops. And so I didn't know what was going on. So that's why I did it. But what did I do? I jumped the gun. I would have waited my turn. Do you think I would have upset two people's days? No. Sometimes we jump the gun. God knows. And so instead of telling God what needs to happen, ask God, okay, God, what do you want us to do? This is the reality of what we're facing. Jesus knew it was getting dark. And he sent them away. It's not like they were off key or out of touch. But instead of telling God what to do, it would be much better ask God, God, what do you want done? Because if Jesus would have said, okay, yeah, go home, what would have happened? The disciples not have experienced the provision of God this way. If he would have simply said, okay. But because he stopped and says, no, you take care of it, guess what happened? A change of events. And I think the change of events probably added a couple hours. Those couple hours, I'm sure, stuck with the disciples and the 5,000 plus people for a long time. So let's be careful, right? Let's not lean on our own understanding. That is not trusting the Lord. And so Jesus sent them away. So verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side when he sent the multitudes away." So Jesus tells his disciples, okay, get back in the boat and cross over. And every time they get in a boat by Jesus' command, is it going to be a smooth trip? No, it always results in something. Why? To teach them, to equip them, right? They have work that they will need to do, and they need to be prepared. And so he's preparing them. And so verse 20, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." So guess what? Jesus finally got to get some solitude. And imagine if he would selfish say, "No, I'm going to turn the crowd away. They don't need, I got other stuff." If he would have done that, do you think the feeding of the 5,000 would have taken place? Do you think the apostles would have learned another time that they can trust the Lord? No. But instead, because Jesus decided to serve instead of be served, look at the outcome. Look at the blessings of others. Pretty widespread. And when evening was come, he was there alone, but was now in the midst of the sea, shocker, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So I think this is an important principle. When we follow the Lord's commands, do we expect everything's going to be perfect? No, we shouldn't. We should anticipate there's going to be problems. Now, let's think about this. We'll set the Lord aside. If you go do anything, do you expect it to happen perfectly? I hope not. Sometimes our expectations are so out of touch with reality, right? That we expect it should be perfect. We don't live in a perfect world, so things aren't going to work perfectly. When we trust the Lord and follow him, guess what we're guaranteed? It will work. When we don't follow him, we're not guaranteed it's going to work. And so when the Lord leads and you follow, doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth sailing. No. But we know the Lord's going to do something great. We have his blessings. And so, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So this is like, this is fourth night. So it's night, it's late. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. So I don't know if they couldn't see very well. I don't know how bright it was there. Sometimes it's a full moon. You can kind of see real well out on the body of water, right? So I don't know how they're able to see. All they saw was they think of this guy as this. There's a spirit walk. Would that be a little troubling? That's not an everyday occurrence. So it's like, what's going on here? Intimidating. And so, what happens? But straight Jesus spoke unto them, saying what? "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." What's the point? Things aren't always as they seem. And we need to be of good cheer. Why? Because the Lord's with us, right? For following him. Something troubling comes, we may be afraid, then guess what we need to do? Hold on now. I don't need to be in despair. I can be of good cheer. It's going to be okay. You ever have a conversation with yourself like that? I hope so. Because the reality is, we all struggle with doubts and fears and concerns. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that, you know what? No. It's going to be okay. I don't know how, but it's going to be okay. So Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, if it wasn't him, should they be afraid then? I will say this. They have nothing to fear the Lord is with them. And so in the future, if they come across a situation like this, what do you think they should learn? Hey, you know what? I don't have to be afraid. The Lord's going to take care. Verse 20, and Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come onto the water. So guess what Peter wanted to do? He wanted to do the same thing. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So guess what Peter did? He walked on water. Crazy. Look back in your life. Have you been in some really hard situations and the Lord stepped in and did something pretty cool? It's like, I never knew that was possible. See, this is what's going on. Peter wanted to see and to be able to do. So Jesus, yeah, come on. So do you think the Lord wants us to trust him? Yes. Do you think he says, oh, great, Tim's asking again. Do you think God gets tired with that? No, he doesn't. He loves that. He wants us to trust him where it changes what we do. And so clearly, what guess we know how this one ends as well, right? And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little of faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So what happened? I'm sure you've heard many messages on this, right? I know I have. So what happened was he began to lean on his own understanding again because he saw how crazy the storms were. And that overwhelmed him and overshadowed his faith, and he became scared. Jesus, he took the bread and the fishes, he prayed, and he started handing it out. Do you see the difference? He kept going. Peter, he stepped out, but then he stopped. God wants our faith to continue. He wants us to continue to trust him through the challenges. Why? Because it's just noise trying to get us away from trusting and doing what God wants. So let's be careful, right? Let's be careful what we listen to. Sometimes we're telling God. Instead, maybe we just say, okay, Jesus, we need to just be with him. You know what the great thing is? When we see God in the idea of a relationship, he brings a lot of balance to our life. We're not stuck on one thing. Ever been stuck on something before? You just can't. It's like, you're so worried about this one thing. You kept worrying about it. It was just one little, and it ruined your entire day. Have you ever experienced that? I have. Was that a good thing that we focused so much on that one little thing where it ruined the rest of our day? And chances are, if it ruined our day, how did it mess with the household? Think it caused problems in the household too? Yeah. See, sometimes we get so stuck on things that we miss out. And so here, Peter started out well, but guess what he failed to do? To continue to trust. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to continue to trust. The other thing I think is a great takeaway from this, even if we fail, guess what we just need to do? Jesus, help. And guess what Jesus did? He helped. And he wanted him to realize that, hey, why did you doubt? There is no need to doubt. Do you see where Jesus is really focusing them? To trust him. They can overcome these challenges. Verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Of course, see how this works? The problems are always temporary. Then once they kind of get through it, then all of a sudden it all stops. There are some problems of life that seem to never go away, right? The reality is there is an end to it. And chances are, if you trust the Lord and follow through, guess what? We'll see that end. And isn't that a good thing? It is. That's where confidence comes from, right? Seeing something through. You keep going until you get through it and you build confidence. That's what kids learn in athletics, right? They keep pushing, keep learning, keep going so they can hit a ball, make a basket. See, that's where confidence comes from. God wants us to grow in our faith so that we're confident in Him. And after this, everything stopped. Are there some problems that persist? There are. And I'm not saying that every problem is going to be short-lived. There are some problems that it's going to be around for a while. But does that limit God's ability to give us peace and comfort? No. Then they that were in the ship, guess what they did? They came and worshiped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Do you think they were a little bit more convinced that night who Jesus was? Do you need help being convinced of who Jesus is? Maybe not who He is, but in what He can do. The reality is we all start at ground zero when we become saved. And the Lord wants us to grow in Him, being confident that He can do everything that He says He can do. God wants us all to be confident. But how does confidence build? It's going through the stuff. Trying to navigate. Not just trying to figure out what to do. Sometimes it's figure out within your own self what's right. Have you ever struggled with that? Those internal struggles? And I'm not just talking about the sins that are so tempting to us. Those are things that we need to combat as well. But as far as making decisions, right? Directions. Now, how do we respond to things? It's not always simple. But remember what Jesus modeled. There was a need. He prayed, and He began to take care of the need. Life isn't always as simple as that, but I think if we take those simple principles and apply them to our complicated situations, it helps shed light on what we need to do. God wants us to trust Him. We can trust Him. It's going to be hard to trust Him. But you take anybody as they learn something new, there's always that anxiety, that unknown. You get worried. But as they begin to do it more and more and more and more, and they keep doing it, guess what begins to happen? It becomes second nature, right? When something is just a second nature, isn't it fun? It's a lot of fun. No matter what it is, if you've done it enough, you just automatically know what to do. And things, you begin to enjoy things more. I think the same thing can happen when it comes to faith and confidence. The more we exercise that and we work through all the anxiety, the unknowns, the challenges, the difficulties, all that internal junk. But if you do it enough, get to the place where, you know what? It's kind of fun. There are some crazy people out there. They like to, you know, have a snowboard or skis hooked on as they get pushed out of a helicopter. and ski down some of these places where nobody should be skiing there, because if there's a mistake, you ain't going to find them. There's going to be nothing left. But people love doing that. Why? Well, they've got the skill to do it. When you have the skills to do stuff, things become fun and enjoyable. Did you know that trusting the Lord could be an enjoyable experience, not necessarily a terrifying experience? Instead of, oh no, oh no, oh no, we can say, okay, God, you got this. Let's go do it. Remember David, King David? I heard Tara talking to the boys about David when he killed the bear or the lion, right? He's taking care of the sheep. If a bear was going to come or a lion was going to take one of the sheep, guess what he did? He went out to get the sheep back. That was his job. And guess what happened to the bear? They had steak that night. See, do you think he had a small view of what God can do? Could you imagine challenging a guy, Goliath, 9 feet. Now, this is not a 9-foot ceiling, but you figured 9 feet. But that was a slingshot. But as he approached him, wouldn't that be intimidating? But did it intimidate him? Why? He says, hey, the Lord delivered the bear and the lion into my hand. This guy's no different. He's trying to stop what God's doing. So guess what? Bring it on. And look what happened.
He may not have had that confidence that not been the bear and the lion fire.
You see, the lessons of today are preparing us for tomorrow. You haven't seen everything the Lord wants to do in you yet. He still has work for you to do. There's still things he wants you to be a part of. So the lessons of today are designed to equip us for tomorrow. And the Lord wants us to be confident people, right? Psalm 23, that's about confidence. This is not, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. No, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is confidence speaking. And this isn't self-confidence, right? It says, no, because why? The Lord is leading me. Yes. Let's not forget that. Now, does this magically make everything clearer as crystal? I did too. But you see, that's not what faith does. That's not what faith is going to do. There's always going to be unknowns and uncertainties. But what faith brings that nothing else can is getting a really tight relationship with Jesus and getting to know him. If you do that, guess what? You're going to be confident. That doesn't mean you're not going to have any insecurities. It doesn't mean you're going to know everything. This is what happens. You begin to live in the present. Isn't that hard? Sometimes we're worried about the future. Sometimes we're worried about future things and the future. So what are we going to do? We're going to do. See, but as we build a relationship with the Lord, guess what we begin to do? And not just enjoy the moment. But we remember principles like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, all of it, and he had all these things unto you, right? So I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Today's Sunday. I don't have to worry about Monday yet. Why? Is it Monday? Not here. Other places in the world it is, but here in Susanville, it's still Monday or still Sunday. So let's not be consumed with Monday. Let's not be consumed with next year. When we trust the Lord, we can focus on today. The rest of it, we say, okay, God, you got all the rest of it. You take care of all the rest. I can only handle the stuff that's right before me. And the amazing thing is, he can direct our path. He'll lead us and set us up in the situation and things that we could not have done on our own. And you know what the intended consequences? Why does the Lord do all of that? Well, when the storm stopped, what did everybody say? It's not just about you. It's about others too. And learning to trust Him. There's going to come a day, right, where all the mess, all the noise, all the garbage, guess what? It's going to be done. And it's not like a house remodel, I've come to learn. Once you paint your house, guess what's going to happen? It doesn't matter how much money you and how good of paint you get. It's still going to need to get painted again. There's going to come a day, guess what? You won't have to do that again. Isn't that be great? That's when Jesus is going to come back. That's what we get to look forward to. He'll have it all done. So we have a choice to learn to trust Him. And in this life, be thoroughly convinced that He can take care of me. We can do that. Faith is not easy. Faith doesn't simplify things. But as you build a relationship with Jesus, and as you struggle through all this stuff with Him, know what He's going to do? He's going to make His voice clearer. He's going to direct us better because we're listening and we're on track. And we'll end with this. Have you ever been in a situation where you worked with somebody and you just clicked? You were all on the same page. You knew what to do. You just went and did it. Those are some of the best times to work with somebody. When you just go and do. That's the type of relationship the Lord wants to have with us. That kind of familiarity, that much time, when it comes to doing, guess what? It just has to be a look, right? And then you're good. That's the kind of relationship the Lord wants to do, to have with us. And it comes by spending time and trusting Him in doing. So whatever it is you need to trust the Lord with today, pray, talk to Him, and then start taking care of business. And guess what the Lord's going to do? He'll direct your path. If you got a decision to make, you know, on Friday, don't allow Friday to overshadow your Sunday. Because the next couple of days, there could be some things that God does that brings a lot of clarity on what Friday's going to do. So let's learn to live day by day. Trust on Him, and He's going to make a way. It's not easy, but we can do it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for this morning and this time. And I just pray, Lord, that Your word would continue to abide in us. Lord, help us understand, Lord, that You want us to grow and that we're not done growing. And that growing by faith is not something that's easy. It requires us to not to lean on our own understanding, Father, but it requires us to trust You. Lord, and this stuff is easy to say and it's hard to do. So I pray, Lord, as You give opportunity for us to apply this into our life, I pray, Lord, that Your word would remind us that we would live it out, that we would honor You, and that we would grow in You. Help us to humble ourselves before You, Father, and the promise that You have is that You will lift us up. So help us to grow in faith, trusting in You, and moving forward in faith. We thank You and bless our time and be at Sunday school hours. You get ready for that. And we just thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.